Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Did You Know? I am your host, John C. Abercrombie. Our program today focuses on a United States Naval seaman by the name of Doris, yes, D-O-R-I-S, commonly called Dory Miller. Miller was no small individual, 6'3", 200 plus pounds, as he entered the United States Navy. Stories that we bring you are often stories that have been largely omitted from American history. They started many years ago. I was born as a black American in the United States of America. I attended segregated schools. It was not until I attended college that I ever had a white instructor or a white teacher. As I look at what I learned, much of it was skewed out of proportion, vastly out of proportion. It was embarrassing in later decades of my life to learn what had been omitted and then later to find out how that affected not only my life, but the life of so many people in America, not just black people, white people, but people of many other ethnic groups, many other religious groups, and all because we don't present facts as they are happening or that have happened. We withhold praise of many people. And while it is a simple thing, it results in generations upon generations of this establishment of large groups of people to our own detriment. Yes, to our own detriment. And that does not just include, it includes white people, black people, Native Americans, Asians, native-born people, anybody that may have migrated here. Because we have seen that not only does this happen with blacks, but at times has affected other large immigrant groups, the Italians, the Germans, and the Polish, and other people that have come here looking for a better life. These are not the principles upon which America was founded. Some of these incidences that we talk about are because and go back into the days of slavery. Slavery, slavery. We hear that term time and time again. What does that have anything to do with it? We have many Europeans and other people that have come to America, primarily Europeans in this case, and they have been given land. Land that belonged to someone else. It belonged to the Native Americans who were here. We celebrate Columbus as discovering America. Columbus, in one sense, discovered the Americas, but he never set foot in North America. Never, never. And yet and still, at one time, one of the largest holidays we had was Columbus Day. And it is this type of information on both sides of the issue that lead us to where we are today. We think that everything of European origin was great. Much of it was. But we neglect much of it to our detriment today. We look at treaties that have been made with Native Americans, treaties that were broken, sometimes for obscure reasons, that translate in most cases to one single word, and that is greed. We see greed. We see treaties that are made, let's say, in the Black Hills of South Dakota, where we come to an agreement and said, we will take this and leave you this, your sacred land, until gold is discovered. Then we back out of the treaty. When we see the start of indentured servitude in America, it sounds one way, and when we look at the repercussions, it is a complete different animal. We had people that came here. The land was largely undeveloped, as we understand it, largely undeveloped from the European standpoint. I'm not European. I have some European in my ancestry, as do many people listening to us today, no matter what your racial identification is. Many of us have European ancestry. And this is because of the lack of obeying the commandments. Many of us consider ourselves to be Christian, but all of our lives have not been, and that of our ancestors has not been. And we focus on many of these items. Today, we're going to talk about Dory Miller, who entered the United States military. When he did, he didn't enter as most people entered, because most of the people that entered were of European extraction. They were white, and therefore were part of the majority group. They received opportunities that were unopened to people of other races. And while this sounds very strange to us today, it sounds strange because we talk about everybody having the opportunity to succeed. And that's what we were founded upon. When we look at the Statue of Liberty, we see a poem that talks about, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses. But we don't look at the line just above it. And I'm sure that it was purely an oversight. An oversight not intended for this purpose, but it says, you keep your best. Every country that this appeals to says, keep your best, the rest, and we will have opportunities for them. That's a very noble cause. That's what we should stand for. That's what we claim we stand for, but in so many instances, we do not. We do not stand on those principles, as noble as they sound. And we're going to look at what happened in Dory Miller's case. Even when it was recognized that it was he who deserved recognition of a high, high honor, we didn't take steps to even do that. And it's a complicated but simple matter. How can it be complicated and simple? Because of what information we release, what information we let out, determines how we view a particular subject, a particular item, a potential people. And this is where we go astray from what we really stand for. So we look at people that came to America from all over the world, including black people that came here as indentured servants. Let me make this point clear. Indentured servants, there were people in America who needed people to do work. What they would do is front the money for their travels to America. They would then perform work for a specific number of years, generally 5 to 7, And in return, they would be given land. Oh, man, this sounds like a fantastic deal. And to many people, it was. But where did the land come from? It came from the Native Americans. What we have done for them is portray them as savages, killing each other in great numbers. And this is not the case that we find in actuality. Very few. Yeah, there were feuds, but we have feuds between people every day. We're getting into wars every day. We have wars that linger for years and years. But when we talk about those wars between Native American tribes, they're not like that. They're completely different. The number of lives lost was small. The frequency with which they were lost was small, shallow. But yet and still, we portray these people as savages, uncivilized people. We see in Oklahoma, where most of them were driven, sometimes go back and listen to some of the stories that we tell and look at the trail of tears. These people, the Native Americans, were uprooted from their home territory that they had inhabited for centuries, and done so remarkably peacefully. And yet and still, we consider them savages because that justifies our taking of their land, driving them off of their lands. This is National Hispanic Heritage Month. Again, we've done the same thing. Much of the United States was Mexican territory, particularly when we get into the Southwest. We have many states that have flown many different flags, French, Spanish, etc., as people came in looking for one thing. They were looking for wealth. They were looking for land. And in many cases, they took land and denied other people the rights to own land. That's correct. While we were saying that everybody has an equal opportunity, it was not true. Because in many cases, many of these groups were excluded from the right to own land, to actually even own land. Back at this, and it's easy to see many cases where it can be embarrassing if the facts come out. But what do? We hide those facts as if they did not exist. We talk about the value of an education. We talk about the values that we have, and yet we don't live by our own values. Land ownership, very, very valuable. But we gave large chunks of land to specific people and specific classes of people, gave a leg up to those people that others were not given. As I visited Denver, Colorado, many years ago, I was under the impression that everybody had the same chance. But when you realize that for centuries, black people could not own land anywhere and everywhere, they were prevented from doing so. They were in bondage. They had no life. They were not paid for their labors. Not only were they providing labor, but they were providing intelligence and copyrights, as did other people. However, in many cases, they were prevented from owning them. You were owned by someone who it is presumed owned all of your intellect, all of your developments. So you couldn't even profit off of your own ingenuity. And therefore, we're getting an echo. We were not able to benefit from our contribution to this country. That's a shame. There are people today that don't know that. And what we try to do is to do that. We're not talking about superiority of one race over another. No. But we're talking about what should take place and how we can regain our composure, how we can regain our principles. In this particular case, we're talking about a gentleman that was born in, I believe, 1919 and entered World War II. As he entered World War II, most people that entered the war went in undertaking an obligation that was based on fighting for the principles of this country, doing what they could to advance those principles. They were trained, and in many ways, the training that they received was passed on and allowed them to earn additional monies, to buy land, to take advantage of the American dream. But in so many cases, it was not. Doran Miller was put in as a mess cook, mess referring to serving meals, serving white people, because it was viewed that they didn't have the intellect, the drive, the ability to determine what they wanted to do, even the ability to learn. And we have so many examples where that is not the case. Not the case. It is an example of what we have in this country. I, during my lifetime, have seen cases where people have applied for jobs, been turned down because they are not qualified, yet they are more qualified than the people that are eventually hired for those positions. This is not right. When we come to a point of trying to rectify that, we howl like a pig under a gate when someone says that we should take remedial action for the actions that we have been describing. We should do something to make the game fair. But every time we do that, we run into major opposition. Opposition because people have not faced reality. They have not faced the fact that history and the American dream has not been fair to all. So we see a man that is highly capable. Now, let's talk about some things that happened with Doran Miller and his life. He went to school at the age of 18. Now, we think that 18 is some kind of magic number. It is not, because you build upon a foundation. And I want to make a second point about building on a foundation. We go back to the Holy Book, and it says, build your house on a solid foundation. Build it on a rock. Otherwise, you're building it on shifting sand, and it's not going to hold true. And so we go back to a foundation. A foundation is solid. It allows you to build that structure true, level, horizontal, and it will not be on shifting sand. What's the importance of that? If a house is not built on a solid foundation, it can go badly wrong. We took a look at the Leaning Tower of Pisa, and it was built on alluvial soil, which means that there's a lot of water in that soil. It's not solid, and therefore it is leaning. And if we had not gone through and made major, major foundational changes to that structure, it would probably be laying on the ground in rubble today. When we look at our history, if we do not have the facts, the true, solid facts, we cannot build a lasting structure on that foundation. This is why I spend so much time talking about history, talking about what has taken place. Growing up in America, I was not given very much information about what my race was capable of doing. I'm not saying that my race is superior. I'm not saying that anybody's race is superior. But what I'm saying is they all should be given an equal opportunity. There are people that have risen from every ethnic group that we know on this planet, here in America and around the world. We see things happen in other parts of the world, and we can see them. This is like looking at a speck in your brother's eye when you have a plank in yours. I remember vividly, because it was during my lifetime, what took place as we looked at apartheid in America, in Africa. Africans were being treated horribly as we saw it. And indeed they were, because they had classes of people and they were prevented from doing anything. Europeans had come in and raped the country in more ways than one, just as they did in America. But we see it when it's happening to someone else. We don't have reason to pay as much attention as we do when it happens to us, when we are the force being acted upon. If it is not you that is being acted upon, it's often of little concern. And this is what has taken place in America. But because we don't tell the full story, we have many white people walking around carrying a burden that they do not need to carry. They do not need to carry the burden of what their ancestors may have done. Yes, in some aspects they do. But most of us feel that if we look at this issue of slavery, we're going to stumble across something that says a direct descendant of a direct ancestor of mine did something horrible, and I'd rather not talk about it. I don't want to face it. It's not material. It's not significant. That's because you personally are not affected. You don't have to look at it in the same way that I do. Let's say that we're on the farm and a horse steps on my foot. I have greater pain. I am more attentive to it than you are. You may not even be aware of it. And I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt in most of these cases, because in most cases, you can't control what your ancestors did. But where this extra burden comes from, not everybody in America agreed with slavery. Not everybody in America agreed with slavery. Even in the South, there were conclaves of people that did not believe in it. But we passed laws. There were powers that passed laws that said, for example, if I claim you as my slave, if I say to you, that's my slave, you don't agree with slavery, you must help me catch and re-enslave that person, even though they may have never been enslaved. We see examples like this. We see 12 years a slave. A free man is tricked, captured, and dealt into slavery in the South, spent 12 years. Now, our system of courts should have recognized this and freed him. But we had a system of justice, supposedly fair, that said no black can testify against a white person in court. No black can testify against a white person in court. I think we still have some of those vestiges now, because as we look at court cases that over the periods of time, we have seen exactly this. We see all white jurors say, nope, innocent, innocent. Let's take the case of Emmett Till, I believe it was 1954, 1955. Emmett Till was a young individual, and we as young people, all of us, look back at some of the things that we did. We will find that everything we did not fit into what we consider reasonable at this time. Yeah, we did some dumb stuff. We did some stupid stuff in our lifetimes. And supposedly, Emmett Till, who came down from Chicago, with his cousins, supposedly whistled at a white woman. Supposedly whistled. A 14-year-old kid whistled. He's playing the joke. He liked to entertain people and would do this. Now, there are probably people today that would not think that it deserved a death penalty to do such an action. I think we're going way, way too far, because we get to a point where we hypersexualize people, and we think that black women fit into this hypersexualized content, and that if they are raped, they asked for it, and nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing could be further from the truth. Now, we've had sex in America for centuries, and it's happened both ways, or always. There have been white women that have given up their freedom to be with an enslaved person, and there have been white men that have raped black women. In near future, there will be a post on Thomas Jefferson's and Sally Hemings, well-known case, and people have different ideas on it, which reminds me, at this point, I want to give you a phone number, because I hope that this program is interactive. I hope that you see something, have questions, comments. I know everybody is not going to agree with me, but this is your opportunity. If you are listening to us through an internet connection, I cannot see you on my dashboard. I cannot then open your microphone and allow you to join our conversation. In order to join our conversation, you will need to call in, and the number to do so is 646-668-8217. Again, that number is 646-668-8217. Put that number in your phone, put it in your address book, put it somewhere, because every Sunday as we come on and talk about topics, this is the number that you will use to connect directly with us. We'll give you the opportunity to bring up your question, and it may be that you disagree. We can disagree, but we don't have to be disagreeable with it. We don't have to use gutter language. We don't have to use profanity, because I encourage our younger listeners to join in as well. We don't need to teach them that. We need to teach them love rather than hate. As a team, we work together. Everybody doesn't have the same strength, the same weaknesses, but it is important for us to know what is possible. Doran Miller was awarded one of the highest medals that could be awarded to a United States sailor. So how did he get here from being assigned to the mess, being assigned basically to serve white military officers? How? That's a question. And why was he placed there in the first place? Let me go back, because I was talking about him entering school at the age of 18. He did not do well in school. He repeated the grade and then dropped out of school. Does that mean that he had no intelligence? No, it means that he did not have a good foundation. In many years of America, we look at the laws, we look at the history, and we find that there was a period of time when it was against the law to teach blacks to read, write, or do numbers. Read, write, or do numbers. Now, part of this goes back to earlier years, because there is no civilization that has been able to write about themselves that we consider inferior. So what we have done is we have taken that one step further. We said not only that, but you cannot teach anybody to read, write, or do numbers. So if we have a white person that says, I have a slave, but I am going to educate them because as an educated person, they can do so much more, so much more. The law comes in and says, no, you can't do that. Why? Because if they could express what it was like to be enslaved, people might believe them. They might find the story logical. They might find their presentation of value. They might see that there is a human being in the flesh of the person that is responding, that is telling their story from their point of view. So much of this has been left out of history. So much of it has been left out of history. When I look at what I received, to me, my history book was like an anchor. It was heavy. It was big. I didn't understand it. I saw no reason to study the past. And it was many years later before I even began to understand. And my mind was absolutely blown when I started delving into the story of what have they not told me? What has been omitted? What has been basically screwed up? You know, you read books like Lies My Teacher Told Me. And when I do these posts, I post every Thursday on AmazingBlackHistory.com. That site is AmazingBlackHistory.com. We post there. We do a summary. And we understand that people learn in different means, different methods. We don't want to just give you a sentence or two and send you out into the world without knowing the whole story. So we include videos, videos that allow you to deepen and pinpoint on what it is that matters to you. So we encourage you to look at those. We also include books that can deepen still your understanding, your enlightenment of facts that have been omitted, or facts that have been changed around. In many cases, we see this and we don't understand it. For example, having grown up in the South, I would think that I would know about Axe Handle Saturday. Axe Handle Saturday? Lots of people have never heard of Axe Handle Saturday. But during the 50s, 60s, people had to go into sit-ins. They would go into lunch counters, public lunch counters, and attempt to order food. They were excluded from this. Most people don't realize it today because so many things have changed, but so many things need to still be changed. When I walked downtown, when I was in downtown Spartanburg the other day, I looked, and we had Five and Dimes, which were, man, they were the place to go shop. And in many of them, they had two water fountains. one with chilled water and one with room temperature water, just bubbled up. We always had that bubbled up water. There was, I think, one store that had two refrigerated coolers. And man, that was something else. That was out of sight. But I have another story where every time this individual walked by, he switched the sign on them. Nobody died. Nobody had adverse reactions. But this was a way in which you could make sure that the superiority of one race was emphasized over everybody else. Is that the America that you know? If it is, you need to listen to this program. You need to ask the questions that come up, because we see every opportunity being taken to tell a group of people, you're not as good as us. You don't deserve chilled water. Now, you go out in the sun and bust your behind so that I can become rich. This is what slavery was all about. It was about taking advantage of a full group of people. We look at the end of slavery. Now, before we get to the end of slavery, what was Abraham Lincoln doing when he and others got us into the American Civil War? Were they trying to end slavery, or were they trying to enforce it all over the country? The answer to that is neither. What they wanted to do is unite the country. It could not exist half slave and half free. We've heard these terms before. The country cannot exist half slave, half free. So let's decide what we're going to do. When we look at what took place, the South decided to secede. That means they gave up their position in the United States of America, formed their own country. Sadly, as I look at my ancestors, I find that they were owned, many of them were owned on my mother's side by William Henry Gist. William Henry Gist was the governor of South Carolina. William Henry Gist signed the secession order saying, we're leaving the United States. We are beginning at this point to recognize what we have done in terms of naming major military installations after Confederate soldiers, Confederate generals. What they had to do, many of them had pledged allegiance to the United States of America. Listen to me very clearly now. They had pledged their allegiance to the United States of America. In order to join the Confederacy, they had to disavow any connection with the United States of America. They had to put down their weapons. They had to put down their arms. They had to avow allegiance to another country. Now, why did I say another country? When we separated from England, we formed a constitution. We elected a president, a vice president. We completely got away from them. Confederates did the same thing. And yet and still, we had people that were being downtrodden, and the force that they were working on or stationed at was named after a person that did not want them to have any rights, any freedoms. They wanted to continue to make them rich. Now, why do I say make them rich? Because most of the wealth in America in the early days came on the backs of slaves. Slaves were not only black, but we had indentured servants, remember. There was a case in which two whites and one black were on a farm. They did not like the way that they were treated, and they ran away. When they were caught, and they were caught because where else are you going to find two white people, two white men and one black man? They were easily captured, returned. The white men were sentenced to an additional year of indenture. The black man was sentenced to indenture for life. Life, his entire life. Now, is this what should happen? No. But we have Dorie Miller. Because of this, there is a superiority and an inferiority in terms of race. Dorie Miller had difficulty in school when he went at the age of 18 because he did not have the foundation that was necessary to compete at that particular level. He went back in. And this is something that I want to caution our parents, our adults, that we need to encourage our children, not just black children, but all children, because they are our future. Mark these words down. Our children are our future. And we need to encourage them, not discourage them. We see example after example as we look at what we're discussing today and what we discuss on Thursdays. And on Thursdays, the subject was Dorie Miller. Dorie Miller went in as a mess cook. Many people, because of the picture that was painted from slavery, came to a conclusion that black people didn't have the intelligence to operate anything except pick cotton. I find out that not only did we do that, but we did so much more. South Carolina, for example, had a crop that was of a tremendous value that was not cotton. It was rice. That rice did not come from Asia. It came from Africa. And we brought slaves specifically to America to raise rice. It was very difficult, very backbreaking, because we had to prepare the land. We had to do the crops. We had to do everything. But it made a tremendous amount of money for America. When we look at the value of slaves in America, the slaves were more valuable than all the factories and all of the railroads in the North. And don't think that the North was completely out of range of what we're talking about. Because when we went into slavery, New York seriously considered joining the Confederacy because so many of the goods that were into their economy came from the South and were being shipped all over the world, over the world. England profited from the slavery here. England outlawed slavery well before we did. But we are beginning to see a moral awakening of people around the world, understanding what takes place. When we look at the body of work that is the American diaspora, that's everywhere that the black people are. Most of the slaves from Africa went into the South and Central America because there was hard work to do down there, hard work to do down there. And so they took God's creatures and put them to work in the most difficult, the most hazardous conditions you could ever imagine to enrich themselves. Now, we talk about those areas where people may have ancestors who fought slavery almost as hard as black people did to get out. Yet the stories tell us that we were so happy in slavery. Happy my foot. Many of these people knew that if somebody asked them if they had a good master, that they had better say yes. They had better say yes, or they would be punished beyond imagination. We often hear stories of slaves being beaten with whips, open sores. But sometimes the story stops there. We don't tell the story that many times They took saline, salt water, and dumped on these wounds to be excruciatingly painful. That is an example of history being rewritten for the convenience of those people that are becoming rich off of these people, becoming rich. There were poor white people, yes. Let me tell you something that happened early on in the Civil War. It started off with the 20 Negro rule, and I'm cleaning this up, folks. If a slave owner had 20 slaves, he could exempt one of his sons from going to war to fight the most important battle in maintaining slavery. You think that's bad? By the time the war ended, for every 15 slaves he owned, he could exempt a son. Now, this, in face of the fact that there were people that did not agree with this. My great-grandfather fought for the Union Army. His brothers fought for the Confederacy. Sometimes it was between members of the same family who disagreed. But they don't tell you that. They make you sound as if it was completely acceptable to do this everywhere. It was not. And in order to justify what we're doing, we say that we're being benevolent to the slave, because if we didn't provide them food and housing and clothing, they couldn't do it themselves. They'd basically just die because they did not have those attributes. Yet we've existed for centuries in Africa. When you look at places like Timbuktu, you find that early Greeks and Romans acknowledge the fact that they sent their children to Africa, the early Greeks, the early Romans. There are so many features there. The pyramids are not made in Europe, Asia. They are in Africa. And how they did this is still beyond the reach of many. We have astronomical observations that have been made by people that came from Africa that we still are amazed at to this day, the accuracy at which they were able to provide many things such as calendars and what have you. But let's go back to Dorie Miller. Dorie Miller took up a course in taxidermy. Did quite well in it. What does this show? That he was dumb? No. It showed that he could do what he could apply himself to, which was what he was interested in, what he understood something about. We have great mathematicians among us, and we did one a couple of weeks ago that had an earned doctorate and 12 honorary doctorate degrees. Go back and look up Blackwell. When you go to AmazingBlackHistory.com, there's a search bar. Put up Blackwell. See what's there. This is an amazing man. When we look at people like Benjamin Banneker, who laid out the city of Washington, D.C., after the engineer left, we find that he also studied the 17-year Circadia, four cycles of them. He was a scientist, folks. People don't want you to know this because then it makes them look bad because they don't offer opportunities. They don't offer opportunities. Dorie Miller, a man 6'3", 200-plus pounds, wants to go to war, wants to fight for the American principles. But no, you have to serve Mr. White Man. That's your job. That's all that you can do. But when Pearl Harbor came under attack, his ship was attacked. He had gotten up at 6 o'clock to serve those people. at 7:47, they were under attack. Now, he had been given 10 minutes training in combat. He was called to duty to get the captain, or I believe it was the captain, who had been wounded severely, out of that so that he could get medical treatment. He went into it without blinking an eye. They had difficulty getting him out. The man would not leave his post and ultimately died from blood loss as he was under command. I think he got the Medal of Honor. Dory Miller had not been trained in the use of the anti-aircraft guns. He was gathered, and a guy chose him to go. There were three that went to manned stations close together of anti-aircraft guns. After a 10-minute class, a 10-minute demonstration of what to do, Dory Miller put himself right behind that gun and shot down at least two enemy planes. Two! Now, here's a man that supposedly we think is going to turn and run at the first possibility of war. At the first possibility of war, he stood his ground. Another man who was supposed to man that gun fed ammo to the two guns. They then put him on duty of getting people off of the ship, going through the oily mess, through the most difficult conditions that you can imagine, under heavy fire, under heavy fire. This is Dory Miller, that black man that we did not want to praise. Why do I say we did not want to praise? Because the black press was aware of what happened. When they understood this, they praised the white soldiers, the white sailors. And I think this is absolutely correct. We should praise anybody who stands for the principles of this country, who stands with the integrity of this country, who fights for this country. We should do that. We should make an effort to do that. But as they cited out the names of all of the white officers, there was a black sailor of unknown name. It was very easy to find the name of Dory Miller. And it was finally mentioned. He was finally given an award, reluctantly, I may add. Why? One reason on this green earth, blue, I guess, if you're a sailor, because most of the earth is covered with blue, the big blue marble, would you ever want to deny credit where credit is due? Why? Just tell me why. As I mention this, I want to make an announcement now, and I hope that you make plans to attend this event. November 7th at 7 p.m. at the Spartanburg Public Library at 151 Church Street, there at the corner of Church and Kennedy in downtown Spartanburg, I will be speaking on blacks in the military. The last discussion I had, which was a couple of months ago, was on women in the military. We have people that we can all be very proud of, whether you're black, you're white, you're of any race, you're even Europeans, because we are on a team. We're on the American team, and what we want to do is get the best out of us. I want to show you that where people stand tall, they should be recognized. And this is what I want to tell you about Dory Miller. We did everything that we could to avoid honoring a black sailor. Incidentally, Miller was put back out to war and lost his life in battle, fighting for this country. Why? Give me one reason why we should not want to honor people like that. Is it a fact that I'm at a loss for words on why we don't honor our best? That's the American principle. That's what is allowed to happen in this country. And we should fight for the recognition of those. Dorn Miller is such an example. He was given that award, yet we don't even know about it in many cases. I know about it because as a youth, I was able to see it. My parents subscribed to Look, Life, Ebony, and Jet magazine. Ebony and Jet opened a world to me that was completely unknown, even to people sitting around me, because they didn't have access to it, because we didn't talk about it, because that history book, out of an average of 888 pages in the average history, there were maybe 2-3 pages developed to black people. And what did they say? They say that we were good in music and sports. Music and sports. But yet and still, we look back to the American Revolutionary War. We glorify Paul Revere. Paul Revere. Paul Revere. You would think that Paul Revere was the only person that went through the countryside alerting people to the fact that the British were coming. Story is so false, so full of holes, that many of you would have your mind blown. One, he couldn't run through the countryside hollering the British are coming because there were loyalists. There were people that were loyal to Britain. He couldn't do it that way. Paul Revere rode west. That night, a gentleman by the name of Wentworth Cheswell, a black judge, understand what I just said, a black judge rode north. Our reinforcements came from the north. You don't think history is manipulated? When I mentioned the name Sybil Ludington, 17-year-old white girl who also rode that night, any of you know of her? When we manipulate history, we are not building on a solid foundation. We are not giving our best the best opportunity to be their best. Now think about that for a minute. Is that the way that you would want your children treated? Is it? We have people that are smart as a whip. Now we have a situation that sometimes develops around third, fourth grade, where black kids are cute because they do what kids do. They get older, and somehow we start slipping them in the school-to-prison pipeline. That behavior is no longer accessible. You're no longer cute. You're getting on my nerves by being smart. We as parents, we as adults, we as American citizens need to encourage and do everything that we can to encourage our youth without regard to color, religion. Let everybody else emulate them. And we do it by recognizing what's happened. We do it by recognizing the Dorie Millers of our time. This man went back into war. I believe it was last week or the week before we talked about the 25th Cavalry Bicycle Troops, in which America sent out soldiers on bicycles, heavy one-speed bicycles, weighing over a third of what the soldier weighed, on a 1,900-mile trip from Missoula, Montana to St. Louis, Missouri. They encountered snow. They encountered mud. They encountered rain. They had to ford rivers. And yet most people don't know about it. Even if we did not adopt that as a mode. Now, it's not as outlandish as it seems, because in Europe, where they had roads and things, there were, at times, troops on bicycles. And it worked. Not so good here. But we see something else happen. When those soldiers started off in the West, people saw the uniform and honored the soldier. They saw the United States Army uniform and honored the people wearing them. The closer we get to the South, where they had taken advantage of blacks for centuries, we begin to see people look beyond the uniform at the color of the person wearing the uniform and basically disavow, dishonor those people. Are those principles upon which this country was built? I say no. It happened. How do we resolve this problem? We resolve this problem by, one, talking about it, seriously talking about it. We have made race a taboo in this country. Now, let me give you this number again, because we do have a couple of people on. I want to enlarge our audience here. I'm sure that people have questions. I'm sure that not everybody listening agrees with me. But we need to understand the magnitude of the problem, and we need to have open, honest discussion about it. That number is 646-668-8217. 646-668-8217. If you're not calling today, put that number in your phone, put it in your address book, put it somewhere where you can have access to it. And at the same time, bookmark, become very familiar with AmazingBlackHistory.com. We have over 300 posts on there that include the summaries, the videos, the books. We want to be part of a well-educated citizenry. That's the only way that we're going to continue to make progress. We have people today that are trying to make it illegal to even teach the material that we're talking about. I want somebody to call in and tell me why we should not learn this information. Come on. I know you're out there. Why? Is it embarrassing? Sure, it can be embarrassing. But nothing is an embarrassing as I found myself in when people would ask about black achievement. Am I left here with George Washington Carver alone? No. I've got hundreds, I've got thousands of people that I can refer to. Let's go back to Denver. Barney Lancelot Ford, if you go into the House of Representatives, the Chamber of Denver, there is a stained glass memorial in honor of Barney Lancelot Ford. Barney Ford discovered a gold mine, but found out that blacks in Colorado could not claim of gold. Could not. Did you know that? Is that something to be proud of? We say that everybody had an equal chance. But a man who finds a gold claim cannot take advantage of it. Land is free. They're giving land away, except if you're black. We watch movies. We watch cowboy movies. You would think that there had never been a black person in America, watching these. But fully one-fourth of all of the cowboys, including some of the trail masters who were given significant sums of money and responsibility, roamed the West. Is this what you want? Would you rather your children be taught a lie than suffer the realization that something needs to be changed, something is that we don't know about, that something is taking place that we can change, but don't? I want somebody to tell me why we shouldn't study people like Dory Miller, why we shouldn't talk about the truth of what happened. Why do we want to save the embarrassment until our children and our children's children come along when there's something that can be easily resolved today? I want somebody to come on and tell me why we should not study black history, why it is not important. We have been here for years and years, and we have contributed, not just Dory Miller. I live in Spartanburg, South Carolina, and I realize only because I study that a military base has recently changed its name. It's changed its name from Fort Polk to Fort Henry Johnson. And who was Henry Johnson? A soldier stationed in Spartanburg, South Carolina in World War I. There is a memorial to him. And I have driven past this thing hundreds of times and never knew it was there. Are we ashamed of it? Are we ashamed of what we have done? If we are, let's get over it. If we aren't, let's make it known. You can be within feet, and I'm talking about feet, single-digit feet, of this memorial and never know it's there. Never know it's there. I've taken pictures. I want to do some more because I want to bring attention to the fact that we have contributed to what exists today. I have been doing additional research. I understand the Chapman Center. There is a letter written by the mayor of Spartanburg to the War Department saying we're not going to protect these troops, although they have sworn to give up their life for America. I want you to understand that in Sandy Springs, South Carolina, down near Clemson, Anderson County, that there is now a statue to Corporal Freddie Stowers, the first black to win the Medal of Honor in World War I. Do we know about that? No. Should we be proud of that? Yes. Every South Carolinian, every American should be proud of Corporal Freddie Stowers, a Private Henry Johnson, of everybody that came from here. What do? We have seen the movie Glory, the Massachusetts 54, and they're coming to fight in that movie. But what about the 55th? They were here. There's a mass grave in South Carolina to the Massachusetts 55th. They were so dishonored by people to know that there were black people that were willing to fight, that when they died, they dug a deep hole and just dumped them in of no value. This is why we're at the point where we are. These people show all of the properties that we want in people, but because they may challenge us, that we may be embarrassed for a moment, we're willing to talk about it. I want somebody to come on this now that will discuss with me why we should never study black history. Why? Why can't we do that? When we look at James James Armistead Lafayette, a man who put his life on the line, who essentially helped George Washington win the Revolutionary War. Do you know about him? Do you know what courage it took to do what he did and what he means to our freedom today? And you're going to say he can't drink out of the same water fountain that you do? That he can't use a restroom where you didn't. I remember the challenge of even going to different places that I'd seen in the history book. Because when you went to a service station, they may not serve you. You may not get a chance to use the restroom. Not even human dignity was extended to you. Not even human dignity was extended to you. Are you willing to stand up? I'm not going to call your name out. I'm not going to try to embarrass you. I just want to have some open, honest discussion. Are you man or woman enough to do it? Tell you by what I see on television every day. No, most of you aren't. And there are stations on both sides of this issue. I try to watch as much as I can of both of them. Sometimes I get a bellyful of either and or both. But this is the opportunity, folks, to talk about it, that open, honest discussion that we have. That is what it's going to take us to get to the future. And as we do this, I am always happy to see my friend Marshall with us. I think Marshall is here. Anybody else? We have a little over 15 minutes. I'm not going to try to stay on the air all of that time, but I do want to answer any questions, any comments that you may have. This is your time. Marshall, are you with us today? Marshall, are you out there?
Yes, sir.
How are you doing today?
Fine. How about you today? You doing okay?
I am doing very well. Thank you.
Great, great. Yes, sir. Just listening to you as ever, listening to you give us the good news. And I find out a lot of times people are just really afraid, but they don't know when somebody see you doing something, you can get all kind of help. Yeah, but they need to see you doing something. And I don't know why it is that we just won't step up. We don't want to get involved in, and that is what a lot of people say. They don't want to get involved. You're already involved. If you're living, you got to do what the law said do. If you ain't involved, go on out there and run a stop sign if you think you're not involved. But
right.
That's what I find out. A lot of people there say that, but I just don't want to get involved in nothing. But you're already involved.
More involved than you ever want to realize. Yeah.
Sure you are. Yes, sir. We are getting ready also for our... On this coming Tuesday, the Legendary James Brother, we're going to be going with the Chamber of Commerce on Tuesday with the Leadership Greer, and we'll be there at 8:30 in the morning on the 3rd, which will be Tuesday, and we'll be back there on the 10th, which will be on a Tuesday. They want us to talk about the leadership there in Greer and what it was like and what did the blacks have to say and what were they feeling about Greer back in the day. So that's one of our goals which we are moving forward to. And the other one is our yard sale down at Florence Chapel on Saturday coming from 7 until 2. We're having a large yard sale out there at Florence Chapel School there on Craft Street. Anybody want to know where that's at, Craft Street? That's where the old Florence Chapel School was at. And we'd be doing a yard sale out there, and we everybody to come. It's $10, you know, people to put up their tables and everything, but you have to bring your own table and everything. We don't have that. But that's something we're doing. And two, again, about I have some good white friends. Some people think that I'm so prejudiced and whatever and don't like white people. Some of my best friends is white people. And I'm not saying that very lightly, but they found out they want to see somebody doing something. If you sitting around a hole in a cup, nobody wants to help you anyway. I don't want to help you if that's all you can do is hold a cup. I mean, I will and I do, But people want to see you get involved, then you get help. Thank you.
Yeah, now, you had mentioned that on Saturday that you could bring food trucks out there as well, right?
Yes. Yes, we need. I don't know of anyone that has turned in the name of a food truck where they, you know, they can sell food from their vehicle. It has to be a mobile. They won't allow grills and where people throwing out the charcoal and burning the grass. I think that's one of the problems. They don't want the grill there, but the food trucks are fine.
And I believe you said on Tuesday at 8:30 at the Grill City Hall?
It won't be at the Grill City Hall. It's a meeting place just down the street on Main Street from the Chamber of Commerce. I can't think of the name of the building, but it's a place where they have events, weddings and all of those things. And it's right on the corner of Main and I don't know the other street, but it's right downtown. All of it's right downtown.
But that'll be 8:30.
8:30 in the morning, yes. We'll be there on the 3rd and the 10th.
Okay. I hope that when I get done with my chores in the morning, because usually what I do is get up and get the sun up and send it on its way, because I won't be too tired to make it.
Yeah, we will. Yeah. I'm sure we will have fun with that because I've learned so much from you. I tell you the truth, you is a great asset that we've ever had around here with information. And some of our people, we so afraid we gonna hurt somebody's feeling or somebody gonna hurt you. That's how we move forward. Somebody right and somebody wrong. Now, we can't get together and talk about it and move on.
Yeah. Now, one thing I want to mention, while we have Black History Month in February, we don't have to wait until February to talk about this. We can talk about it every day of the month. When Carter Woodson started Negro History Week in 1926, the idea was that we will study Black history all year, come together on that week and share what we have learned. It's not a thing that we put off. It's part of our life. It's part of the essence of this country that we do that. And this is why we do this, try to do it faithfully. We try to post every week on Thursday. And during the month of February, we'll post daily on Black History. And on March, daily on Black women. We try to focus on those things that people don't know much about. And we were excluded from our history. We have people that anybody can be proud of. Anybody can be proud of. When I talk about Solomon Carter Fuller, and it's embarrassing. I'm going to tell you how embarrassing it is not to know about your full history, is that he graduated from the same college that I attended, Livingstone College in Salisbury, North Carolina. It's an HBCU. And this man was a medical doctor. We've talked about how difficult it is to become medical doctors. He was also the first Black psychiatrist in the United States of America. He performed many autopsies, and he was chosen by Dr. Alzheimer himself to further his research. Now, we have people now suffering from Alzheimer's. It is painful. It is something that you really don't want to have to go through. It's not just the patient. It's the family. It's everybody else. But we get to a point because we don't know and because of the lingering lies that are out there, don't realize that this man had so much education in that area. And we didn't fund it. Why? Because of the color of his skin? Come on, be serious. We can't do this to ourselves. And when I look at who is going to come up with the answer to the question, I can't play favorites and say it's got to be a black person, a Hispanic person, a Native American. Come on and help me and help other people. That's how we become and maintain ourselves as a great country. We need to get over that. We have to realize the reason that we have a 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment was to recover from the wrong deeds that we had taken, that had taken place from the conception of America to the end. We find that the first person to die in that war was not a white man, was not. Crispus Attucks was not a white man. Now, there are people trying to say, well, he was Native American and something else, or black and something else. Who cares? We have distorted our history to the point where we are spending too much time worrying about these types of things. But, Marshall, I hope that other people hear that in Greer Tuesday morning at 8:30, we need to show that we are involved. And the way that we get action is for people to know that we are involved. Politicians will do anything they can to get a vote, whether it is wrong, right, in between, nothing else, they will do it. And when we come together, it doesn't have to be all black people. White people are just as concerned about this as anybody else. And that's why I say that we don't pick our friends on the basis of their color. We pick them on their heart, their mind, and their soul. That's what's going to be the criteria for us moving on. If you're white, don't be ashamed of anything that's happened in your ancestry or anywhere else. Join us. And on next Saturday at the Old Florence Chapel School, and I think this is the site that we went to for Juneteenth a couple of years ago. Is that right, Marshall?
Yes, sir. That is correct. Yes.
Okay. Nice grounds out there. It's a pretty fairly straightforward shot from 29, but with GPS, we can pull it right in. And when we talk about this, I want to point out something. Those of us who use GPS, which are most of us, we need to thank Gladys West, Dr. Gladys West, a black woman, for her early development of GPS. Mm-hmm. We're not just sitting around with a bunch of pretty faces doing nothing, waiting for a welfare check. We want an opportunity. We want to show you what we can do. And this is the way that we do it. Put us to the test. And we will show you that greatness comes in all genders, all heights, all weights, and everything else. You can't look at it and distinguish it. You have to see it. You have to see what is produced by it. Now, at this point, we've got about 5 minutes. I don't see any new people joining us at this point. And unless somebody has something else that they would like to say, we will close this discussion. Hope that you take note of those two. And some of you that have events taking place in other places, join us next week or the week after or the week after that or the week after that. And let's make this known. Let's improve our country. Let's not remain in the dark ages. Let's not remain ignorant of that which we need. And I appreciate all of you, those of you that are listening by device, those of you that are willing to call in by phone. I want you to keep that number, 646-668-8217. And join us again next week. The program you're listening to is Did You Know? And I'm your host, John C. Abercrombie. And don't forget, we don't have to wait until November to talk about these subjects. We can do them now. We must do them now. So with that, I want all of you to be blessed. Join me again next week for another interesting discussion. Be blessed, my friends. Be blessed. Thanks, Marshall.
God bless you, Mr. Abercrombie.